Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I'm talking about an article in today's Huffington Post where a college graduate said he wished someone would have told him about, you know, the fact that he would rack up $180,000 in student debt once he graduated. And he's given a story, I think, that many of us, you know, who didn't have to deal with that. You know, a college degree is a valuable instrument, but the cost of them, you have to weigh with, you know, once you finish college and where you go, are you going to wind up with a job that is going to compensate you well enough that money that you invested is going to be, you know, worthy of what you did? I mean, you know, and what you owe. Because in many instances, when you graduate from college, you know, and start at whatever you've been trained in, the people want to right away see if you have any experience, right? Well, you got the degree, but how are you going to get the experience unless someone hires you? Well, in the meantime, the you know, fact that you borrowed this money, that keeps accruing. They want that immediately. They want you to start paying that back immediately. And now young people are up against the wall with debt before they even get a chance to live their lives. Let's go to the phone lines and Jack from Merrimack. Hey, Jack, how you doing, man?
Just fine. I have I guess I'd call it a compromise that I think might work in terms of student loan debt. Since about 1980 and Reagan's tirade against government, we have substantially cut back almost every year support of public colleges and universities. And I think that it's not unreasonable to do an inflation-adjusted number, figure out how much more it actually costs to go to school and forgive the difference between what it would have cost in 1980, but inflation-adjusted to now, and today with the lack of governmental support to public colleges and universities, and forgive that amount of student loan debt. Because it's outrageous that, just for example, my son's going to one of the state university schools, and just for tuition, I believe he's going to be racking up something like $50,000 in 4 or 5 years of schooling. And that doesn't count room and board. It doesn't count cost of books, you know, and any of that stuff.
So let me add this, Jack. It doesn't have to be 4 years. If you look at some of the courses and classes that they are telling you to take, you're not ever going to use that in your life.
The new average is actually 6 years because of all of the gen eds, as well as people projecting to change their degrees every now and then, because a lot of my friends changed, and you know that changes a lot of the classes you're required to take.
So how many? It doesn't take 4 years to get, you know, some of the degrees that they offer, because you're not going to be able to use them. And so this is what, again, why wouldn't our society do everything within their power to help get the society educated, but not to saddle them with this backbreaking debt, Jack? Why is that okay?
Well, it's not okay. That's the bottom line.
That's my point.
Like I said, the first thing we have to do is we've got to start supporting our public colleges and universities again to the degree. I'm going to go back into the dark ages, but I used to joke when I was in college, and I remember saying this, it's the only place I can live on $1,000 a year. Now, admittedly, I'm an old guy, but the the fact is that even inflation adjusted, there's no comparison between the cost of college today. And yes, many, many people do not have to go to a four-year school or to go to college for 4 or 5 years. My son's going to be in for 5 years because he's going to get a teaching degree. But and so you basically have a year of practicum that you have to do. But the bottom line is, again, it shouldn't cost our kids that much money.
No,
and
no.
It wouldn't if our society had reasonably said, yep, we are going to continue supporting public colleges and universities. Somebody wants to go to Harvard, fine. You know, they can pay the extra money and they can take their chances that way. But public colleges and universities should not be that expensive. They should be available to not just the kids like mine, who is lucky, who has two parents that both have good, you know, good paying jobs, and we can afford to pay his way, so he will actually leave school with little or no debt. But it shouldn't have to be that way. Anybody should be able to do that.
You're absolutely right, and there are less and less parents who can afford to pay their students debt. You know, you and I, that was commonplace that parents sacrificed 40 years ago and put aside, you know, 50 years ago, 40, 30 years ago, and put aside. People made enough money then, and the cost of living wasn't as high as it is now to do that. But that's the exception now, Jack, not the rule.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Sam, where are we going next?
Bill from Oconomowoc's calling in.
Hey, Bill, what's going on, man? How you doing, my friend?
Are you there, Bill?
Did we lose Bill?
Maybe try again,
okay,
Bill.
Okay, call
try
back,
again.
Bill. But my point once again is, why would a nation want to punish the people who... if you all over the world, you know, in places, China, you know, India and other places where education is free, you know, extended education is free, higher education is free, because they know it benefits their nation when the citizenry is educated. So they've made it possible that those who want to go and who want to be educated aren't going to be saddled with the debt that people wind up with in this nation. Now, let's even move away from the education part of it. As I stated before, first time I bought a house, I didn't know. I was taken advantage of. The people gave me the information, you know, say, okay, we're going to finance this house for you. I've been turned down so many different times. And when finally I got a chance to get the house, I didn't know what a balloon payment was. They didn't tell me anything about it. I didn't have an attorney with me because I didn't know I needed to have an attorney. So they sold me a home that had at the end of it a balloon payment after a year, I think it was, of me paying this note. It turned around at the end and somebody said, hey, man, do you understand what you got? I said, no, I don't. What are you talking about? He said, well, the way this is written up, you're going to have to then, before a year is up, go find somebody else to refinance the house for you. Otherwise, you're going to have to pay the entire amount of what the house costs at the end. Why should that be legal? You know, why should the what's written in documents when we do business or service in this country be a scam? And you can say, well, that's not a scam. You didn't have to do it. Well, if they're not going to be upfront and truthful with you, like we talked about, Sam, with what they teach you or tell you about, you know, the end at the end of graduation or before graduation, now they sit you down and say, this is what's going to happen. You know, not during the time you're there. Well, yeah, you know, we're going to give you a loan. The government is going to give you a loan for room and board. And, you know, if you can't afford it, but this is what we're going to do. We're doing this great thing for you. But then you turn around and you see where you are. And at the same time, the types of jobs that are available, many of them have been eliminated. And so where are you? I'll just again say that I don't think it's right. I think legalized robbery should be treated the same way as somebody who, you know, goes into a store and takes a bag of potato chips, right? You know, if you're going to give the make legal robbery and usury, because what we're really talking about is usury, that's legal in this country. For corporations, it's not legal for you and I as individuals, but it's legal for the corporations. Why should that be? And don't tell me about the greatness of the society when we know all these things are there, and whether Democrat or Republican makes no difference. That's supported by both sides, usury and taking advantage of people. That's not right. And if you think it's right, 844-967-2789, you know, explain to me why that's right. But I know the majority of the American people don't believe that's right. The problem is the majority of the American people won't speak out and speak up about injustice, especially when it comes from the corporations of this country, because we're so caught up in believing that the corporations are going to do what's in the best interest of all of us, when nothing could be further from the truth. You know, I just, I want to, what we got, a couple minutes? Oh, okay. I'll come back to a little bit more of this. I got some other things I wanted to discuss, but we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. You know, Sam, I get a lot of people who always say, you know, you don't like this country, why don't you leave? And I would say, you know, I'm not going anywhere. Why should I leave? I've got the courage to challenge the nation to be better. And everybody should be wanting the nation to be better. It's easy to close your eyes to it and say, I can't do anything about it. There's something else altogether to challenge it and expect it to live up to what it claims it is. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.